You're listening to The Ground Floor on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm your host, Cynthia Scherr, and my guest today is Jason Walker, the owner of Starwalker Organic Farms in the Scott Valley. And I have to say, I think he's the first guest I've ever had where I could really say, this man truly brings home the bacon. So welcome, Jason. It's great to have you on the show.
Hey, thanks. I'm excited to talk.
Great. So tell us at the beginning just like how you got started in farming. Not everybody gets to go back home, and I understand you grew up in the Scott Valley.
Yeah, so I'm a third generation farmer, but I did move away for about 15 years after high school and did some construction in Southern Oregon, actually. We migrated our way back, and we took over the farm about 12 years ago now, and we've grown it pretty substantially in the last 12 years. So my parents were looking to retire, kind of had enough of the daily grind, and I was looking to get back into farming. Always loved farming, and really wanted to do big things and perpetuate the organic thing that my parents had kind of led the way with that, and I really wanted to keep rolling with that.
And had your parents started with organic farming in terms of crops or with animals or both?
Yeah, so about 30 years ago, actually it's been closer to 40 now that I think about it, they were just unhappy with the way the system was going, and the chemical companies were trying to push them into spraying and fertilizing and doing all this stuff with some bad chemicals, basically. And so my dad, I think my mom and dad are kind of old hippies. And so they were like, you know what, I think we can go our own path. And so they were one of the first few people to get certified organic in the state of California. And so that's all I've known when I grew up. I mean, we did organic, we had cattle to begin with. So we just grazed and put up some hay for our cattle. And then we slowly got more into, other crops like organic potatoes, organic corn. We had a little stint where we did herbs and spices. And so I just knew that the whole time growing up, we got out there and weeded fields and did everything, manually and didn't use any chemicals my whole childhood. And so I knew when we came back to the farm, I wanted to continue that tradition.
Mm-hmm. And about how many acres are you on?
So when the original homestead is about 250 acres of farm ground, and then we had about 800 acres of hill ground and grazing. Now we're up to about 7,000 acres. So we've drastically jumped since we came back. And, as far as our total operation, we've got a little over 1,000 acres of crop ground. We've got about 1,500 acres of grazing, irrigated pasture for our cattle, and then we've got probably roughly 5,000 or a little under 5,000 acres of like hill ground and seasonal grazing ground.
Mm-hmm. And so tell us what you're raising on that ground now. I'm looking at you right now, and you're wearing the sweatshirt with a really, really cute cow on it with long horns and a fuzzy hairdo. So tell us a little bit about what you're raising on that farm.
Yeah. So about 10 years ago, there was actually no cattle on the farm. When we came back, my dad had taken advantage of a time years ago and caught a high market and sold all of his mother cows. And so they weren't doing cattle when we came back. And so I knew I wanted to get back in cattle because I like the fact that I can utilize some of my crops for my own animals. I also like the fact that you can utilize the animals to help, graze down areas around the farm. And so I just knew I wanted cattle. So we wanted to be different. We didn't want to be like everybody else with the Black Angus or Hereford or, a few of those other types of animals. So we thought, let's be totally out there. So we found a herd of Scottish Highlands. They got really big horns and they're fluffy and they're just super fun animals. So we've got a breeding herd of Scottish Highlands. It's about 100 head. So we have, roughly 100 calves a year off of that group. And we also do now have Angus. We've grown enough to where we just needed more animals. So we have Angus cattle as well. And we also have lots of pigs. So we have about 250 sows, and we do roughly 3,000 to 4,000 finished pigs a year, all certified organic, all technically regenerative organic, rock certified. So it's kind of fun. It keeps us busy, and then we also still do crops. So we put up a lot of hay, a lot of alfalfa, a lot of grass alfalfa.
So you mentioned rock, regenerative organic certified. I've heard that term, but tell us a little bit about what that means. What does regenerative really mean in this case when you're raising animals?
Yeah, so it's kind of a funny story. The original organic was really just meant to be about taking care of the land and not putting anything bad in there. And that got kind of convoluted through the years. You know, Big Ag kind of got in there and, you know, made some changes. Well, the regenerative organic movement is really like, let's go that extra step and really take care of the soil. Because at the end of the day, if we don't have good soil, we're not going to have healthy animals and we're not going to have healthy protein for people or healthy food. So regenerative really means taking care of the soil. So really what that means in practice is like doing rotational grazing so that we're not really mob grazing and taking the grass down to nothing. We're actually moving those cows around. We're spreading the manure around. If they don't eat too much of the plant, then the plant regrows quicker, has more shade to be able to keep moisture in the soil. So we use rotational grazing, and we also use just any other technique we can to be able to get that manure spread around on the grass and try to get the soil built. We want good mycorrhizobi in the soil. We want good carbon sequestration. We want good water holding capacity. And really, animals is probably the best and most easiest way to achieve that. So we basically are doing every practice that we've always done, but now we kind of have a certification behind us that you know, gives people the assurance that we're doing it right and we're doing it the way it should be.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've heard from people in our own food system here that processing plants are really, there aren't very many of them nearby. And my understanding is that you're vertically integrated from, you know, baby animals all the way through what winds up on the supermarket shelf. Can you talk to us a little bit about that and how you've done that?
Yeah, so we have a pretty crazy journey there. When we decided to do direct consumer marketing, we had to search around for a processing plant, and that was tough. We were going 4 hours north, 4 hours south. We were going everywhere we could to find a processing plant that would actually do organic. There's other smaller plants around or other plants that can do conventional, but nobody that would do organic. So that was an adventure for 2 or 3 years. And we knew if we were going to grow, we had to have control over that aspect of it. So originally, we were going to build a plant. And we went through all the processes trying to figure that out. Well, lo and behold, there was a processing plant that had recently shut down near us. And we thought that they were going to reopen and they weren't interested in selling. And we were able to approach them and they decided that, you know, hey, now's the time and whatever we're doing is not working. So we were able to purchase that plant. So we, as of June last year, we have our 100% vertically integrated. So, you know, the animals all the way from birth, all the way through the store, like you said. And it's been a huge undertaking. You know, I wasn't in the processing plant business ever, but we've got an amazing team and they've been helping keep that thing rolling. And it helps us be able to pivot on a dime too. If we want to do, you know, jerky 1 week and we want to do beef snack sticks the next, it's under our control. We're not at the mercy of somebody else.
Wow, that's a huge accomplishment in a short amount of time. You're listening to The Ground Floor on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Cynthia Schur, and today we're speaking with Jason Walker of Starwalker Organic Farms. You just mentioned that you have other products, too, and I happen to know that because I had some of your fabulous beef jerky for lunch. So can you talk a little bit about, you know, what's called value-added products are, you know, you've got it all the way from the grain you're feeding your animals to the animals to products from the animals. Can you talk a little bit about how you made that journey and what are some of the products that you now have?
Yeah, so it's kind of fun because we can utilize the whole animal. And so on the beef and the pork side, we have just our regular cuts and our ground beef and our bacons and all that. But we also have a really nice place in the facility that we can do all the value-added stuff. Now, a lot of processing plants don't have that capability. You know, they only do the raw cutting of the meat, and then you have to send it somewhere else. But we have everything inside of our plant. So we've got really nice smokers and all the equipment to make beef snack sticks, beef jerky, bacon, sausage, salamis. So, I mean, we can run the gamut. And so what we've been doing is we've been slowly rolling out a few different products. And our jerky was rolled out last fall, went into retail and direct to consumer. And now we're rolling out our beef snack sticks here in the next few months. And then we're going to have, you know, pretty much sky's the limit after that.
Great. So what are your channels of distribution? If people wanted to buy Starwalker Organic Farms rock labeled product, where would they find that?
Right now, the best way to find it is just go into our website and order it. And we ship all over the U.S. So You can get it really easy there. We also are in a lot of retail stores, mainly on the West Coast right now. We did have a soft launch into Sprouts nationwide. We went into 400 stores nationwide, and they are starting to reorder and refill those after the initial launch. But West Coast, we have a bunch of retailers, Erewhon down in the Bay Area, Jimbo's, Good Earth in the San Francisco area, and probably about a dozen more that I don't know off the top of my head. But yeah, we're hooked up with a pretty good distributor, and they get good distribution to all the retailers. And so we're also available at Amazon, so you can find our stuff online pretty easy. And yeah, as we roll out more and more products, we also have a tallow line that's coming too. So there'll be a ton of options. But like I say, easiest way to find us is go to our website and see what retailers close to you or order it online.
So scaling as fast as you did takes a lot of capital. That's not usually something that, you know, farmers just have, you know, gold buried in the backfield. So how have you been able to finance this level of growth? Because this is incredible growth, incredibly fast.
Yeah, so that's been an adventure. I'm not gonna lie. We're really big thinkers, and you know, we got big ideas, and we want to do big things. But you know, sometimes you can get the cart before the horse, and so we've had some really good funding partners along the way. And the cool part is they've all been supportive because they want to see regenerative agriculture succeed, and they want to see more acres be converted to organic or regenerative. So I think that the cool part is when you have those partners and they know what you're doing, and you know. Nothing's cookie cutter when you're farming. You know, everything's not a simple transaction. You know, we're buying animals and putting in infrastructure. And the processing plant has obviously been a great undertaking. And so having the right partners help us get through that has been huge. And there's Steward's a big one that we've recently got in touch with. And their agenda is to help more acres be under regenerative and organic. And so they're helping us on some funding with the processing plant. And that's been amazing.
And how much demand is there from consumers? Like, do most people know when they go into a grocery store to look for a rock label on their meat or on other products? How has that come about? What's your sense of what the customer pull is for that?
Yeah, so that's a great question because, you know, there's a lot of consumer education that needs to go on. And I think everybody understands and knows kind of what they want, I would say. But, you know, trying to decipher all the different brands and all the different, you know, some stuff says natural, some stuff says grass-fed or grass-finished, and the regular consumer has a hard time navigating that. The cool part about organic and now with the regenerative organic is people, when they understand what that means, they can trust them when they see that seal. It's a lot to have all the certifications. I mean, I think we have about 7 or 8 different certifications, so it's a lot of inspections, it's a lot of paperwork, but the cool thing is it's transparency. People know when they see that on the label that they're getting a good quality product that we care a lot about. And so I think that the movement behind it in the retailers is going to be a little bit of a slow process, but we're focusing on those retailers and that clientele that really knows what they want and they're looking for us.
And so what are some of the next products that you're rolling out, if you can say?
Yeah, so I mean, we've got some thoughts about doing an organic chicharinos, pork skins, or that would be kind of fun because that's not out there on the market. And so we're working on that in the back end. Like I say, our beef snack sticks will be launched here in a few weeks. We've got 3 different flavors on the beef snack sticks. Let's see, what else? I mean, our bacon will be in retail stores probably starting a couple months here, I would say, by the time we get it distributed. So, and then, you know, there's always kind of the thinking of, you know, what other parts of the animal can we utilize? How can we, you know, really take advantage of, you know, we like to call it nose to tail, but being able to utilize that animal as much as possible, you know? So, I mean, even with our Highlands, you know, we do our skulls, people can buy our skulls and, you know, they're beautiful looking things that you can hang on the walls. So, I mean, and rugs. I mean, there's just all sorts of things with animals to be able to utilize, and we want to try to do our best to honor that animal and utilize it as much as possible.
Great. Well, so I looked it up, and in addition to your website, starwalkerorganicfarms.com, you can also get your products. The closest health food store is Berryvale in Mount Shasta, and then the closest Sprouts is in Redding, at least in the state of Jefferson. Did I miss anything? Are there other places where we can get product from your farm?
We're also at 7 farmers markets locally throughout Rogue Valley and Northern California.
Great, great. I'm sure we could continue to talk about this for another hour or two, but this is all the time we have today, so I'd really like to thank you, Jason Walker from Star Walker Organic Farms, for joining us on the show today.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Ground Floor on the Jefferson Exchange. My name is Cynthia Schur, and you can find this and other episodes at jeffexchange.org and on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.